Knut and Janina come over at 5. The weather is splendid. For several days now, the sun has shown the kind of strength you would hardly have thought it capable of after a typical Braunschweig winter and the drizzly first weeks of spring. The light lies like pale yellow chiffon on the smooth surfaces of the furniture, sparkles in the glasses on the table, penetrates into the remotest dust-free corners. 3 times a week, Britta has Henry, a young man from Laos, make the house spick and span. Unfortunately, the picture windows always exhibit a couple of smudges that Henry has missed. With the children, daily routines have changed somewhat. Before, the adults would have met at dusk for the first aperitifs, not in broad daylight for dinner. But that's normal. It's the same for all of them, the whole army of parents with only children. Britta used to work until midnight, sleep until noon, and ingest the first solid food of the day in the early afternoon, when Babak, no morning person himself, would come to the office with something, usually a sandwich, for her to eat. The arrival of baby Vera 7 years ago put an end to all that. Only sometimes Britta still feels a slight dizziness and something akin to alarm, symptoms of existential jet lag.
"This mess keeps falling apart," Richard calls from the kitchen, addressing no one in particular.
Out in the hallway, Britta accepts the bottle of red wine that Knut has brought. A nice gesture, even though they have a whole cellar full of Louis Felipe Edwards Cabernet Sauvignon, a 2020 Chilean she and Richard like and have grown used to. She'll regift Knut's Rioja, a bottle with a ribbon around its neck, when the opportunity arises.
"Sticky fingers,"
Richard laughs as he raises his gummy hands in the air and greets his guests with his elbows.
"I'm following the recipe exactly, but the stuff still looks like bio-waste."
Before him lie shreds of seaweed and clumps of gooey rice, the results of his wrapping experiments. Richard has got it into his head to make his own sushi this evening, and Britta never interferes in such plans. The kitchen is Richard's domain. She'll keep the guests entertained and make sure the children eat something. It really doesn't matter what, by 7 o'clock or so.
Man, it looks great. "We'll get some flat spoons and eat it directly off your granite countertop," says Knut.
It's actually polished concrete, but Britta keeps her mouth shut. Knut's kind of a wimp and probably not even particularly intelligent, but Britta likes him anyway, because he's good-humored and because his daughter, Cora, gets along so well with Vera. 7 years ago, Janina and Britta met at baby swim class, each with a screaming bundle on her arm. After that first day, they spent many a long, sluggish afternoon together. At first, they'd indulge in reciprocal venting about their troubles. Later, they'd enjoy an hour or two of relative peace by the side of a play area while the two little girls kept themselves busy. This playdate friendship has even withstood their decision to send Cora and Vera to different schools. While Knut and Janina's daughter goes to a children's music school where piano lessons are compulsory and smartphones prohibited, Vera is receiving a normal, Silicon Valley-influenced education, and is certainly no worse off for it. Cora's practicing Faster, Faster, Little Snail on the xylophone. Vera has just written her first program, which causes a fish to swim back and forth across her computer screen and snap at a baited hook when it's dropped into the water. The two girls have already disappeared into Vera's room, while the adults are still occupied with standing around, which is apparently a phase that must be endured at every such gathering. You lean in a doorway or support yourself with both hands on the back of a chair and laugh in one another's faces until everyone is finally relaxed enough to sit down. Britta's house has a spacious living and dining area with big, glazed windows. Nevertheless, everybody always squeezes into the kitchen and insists on sitting at the much too small breakfast table. She's given up wanting to do anything about this. Britta pricks up one ear and aims it at Vera's room across the hall until she hears the usual Mega Melanie sounds. The girls are wholly in love with Vera's Megamall,
a multi-level plastic monstrosity that has Wi-Fi, several electronic screens, and a programmable soundtrack. When Cora comes for a visit, she always brings some of her Glotzies, cuddly little aliens with three big eyes, currently all the rage. They constitute the driving force of a complex Martian attack on the Megamall, which must be repulsed by Mega Melanie, Mega Martin, and their Mega friends. Most of the time, after various complications, the members of Mega SWAT start shooting wildly in all directions, killing not only the Glotzies, but also all the customers in the Megamall. Then the adults hear dramatic music and synchronized whoops of collateral damage!